Because the scripture says it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. So on this retreat, we do not want to force anything. We do not want to force anything. This retreat has to be a flowing retreat. We want to flow in the river of God is what we want to do. And as we flow in the river of God, great things will happen. This is not a forceful retreat. We're going to force things to happen. I'm not into force because force doesn't work. You know, don't try. I don't even want you to try. This is not a trying retreat. Please don't try. Just be here and take part in what God's doing. That's all you need to do. On the day of Pentecost, the only thing they needed to be was at the right place. They really needed to be at the right place. And because they're at the right place, that's where it happened. So let's believe we're at the right place, okay? We're all at the right place here. This is the upper room. This is the Pentecost day. This is the cenacle. We're believing that we're in this right place, and we're not going to try, and we're not going to force things. We're going to worship God. We're going to see what God has in store for us. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see how it unfolds. Because, you see, the best kind of time away is when things unfold, not when I'm going to tell you I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that, and after I do that, I'm going to do the other thing, and then, amen, we go home, and that's very lovely. No, we're going to let it unfold. We're going to let God do what he wants to do in you. Because I want to tell you today, God knows your name. Jesus knows your name. He knows your telephone number. He knows your social security number. And if you have a passport, he even knows that too. And he knows if your passport picture is old and you look a lot younger than you do now, like mine. So he knows all that kind of stuff. So you see, we don't have to tell the Lord too much about that kind of stuff. He knows all that stuff. He knows where you're sitting. He knows how to touch you. He knows how to do things. You just need to cooperate with what we're doing and what he's doing here. That's all you need to do. And let the Lord do the rest. You see, it's not by might and it's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you know, when we try to make things happen, I don't know if you know this, it never does happen. It doesn't happen when you try. Have you ever gone on a vacation once and it was so wonderful? Oh my gosh, things happened that were so spontaneous and it was so wonderful and you did all these wonderful things and you found all these wonderful people and it was just the greatest time since you could ever remember. Then the next year you go try to do the same thing again. Never happens. It never happens. You want to know why? Because you're a different person this year, and because you're trying to make those things happen, they don't happen. How did they happen last year? They happened when you just let yourself be. You just flowed with it. You flowed with it, and the great things began to happen. Can't make things happen. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. But we can cooperate with God. That's what we can do. We can praise, we can worship, we can sing, we can dance, we can do all the things that we need to do. That's what we need to do. But then the Lord steps in because he inspires these things. And that's when things begin to happen. So when the Lord steps in, we just want to step aside. We want to cooperate with what the Lord is doing. Let's look at the psalm today because it's an interesting psalm. Because I know it doesn't affect you or me. You know, we're all so beautiful. We never have any troubles. From all their afflictions, God will deliver the just. No one here has afflictions. You know, we're all so perfect. There are no afflictions that we carry to this place. You know, that we're all so wonderful that you know, it's just so great that none of us have any troubles. We're just perfect. You've got to be kidding. From all their afflictions, God delivers the just. Then it tells us how he delivers the just. I will bless the Lord at all times. God delivers the just as we bless his name. Jesus said, thy name be hallowed, Father. Hallowed be thy name. God delivers the just when we bless his holy name, when we hallow his name. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. My Lord. You know, it's very easy. We're just listening to some CDs by Paula White.
that the devil could steal our praise. That the devil can steal our praise. That the devil can steal our worship. That he can put us in a corner and so we stop praising God. And what begins to happen is from all their afflictions, God will not deliver the just. See, as we continue to focus upon him and worship him, as we his praise is ever in our mouth, let the lowly hear and be glad. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Look to the Lord and be radiant with joy. Let your faces not blush with shame. When the afflicted man called out, the Lord heard, and from his distress he saved him. But the afflicted man or the afflicted woman, the afflicted person, called out in praise, called out in worship, called out in adoration. Just let's remember Paul and Silas. They were in jail. Remember they were in jail? In the Acts of the Apostles? And do you remember what time it was at night? It was midnight. Do you remember that these prisons were prisons without bathrooms? So they must have stunk to high heaven, okay? And what was Paul and Silas, what did they determine to do that night? They decided to start singing praises unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, it stinks in here. Oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. Thank you, God, for all these afflictions. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're in control of all this stuff, oh, God. Oh, Lord, help us. We love you. We love you. And then there was an earthquake. And then the chains were broken. And then the doors were opened. In their affliction, they cried out to the Lord in praise. In their affliction, they cried out with God, to God with praise. In their affliction, when everything was going wrong, they cried out to God with praise. To praise God in all circumstances, not to praise God because of the circumstance, but in the circumstance, to know that the Lord is in control. He's still on the throne. He still hears and answers prayer. He's still God Almighty. That the devil is a wimp as compared to God. God the Father and Son and Holy Spirit is infinite. And we all come with troubles. We all come with trials. We all come with difficulties. There's nobody who doesn't have them. We've all got them. But the Lord must be our praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. Now, when it says all times, what does it mean? It means all times. It doesn't mean sometime. All times. I will bless the Lord when I feel like it. And I will bless the Lord when I don't feel like it. I will bless the Lord when I'm happy. And I will bless the Lord when I'm sad. I will bless the Lord when I feel like I'm going to die. I will bless the Lord when I feel like I'm on Mount Tabor and I see the transfigured Christ. I will bless the Lord when I'm in the marketplace. And I will bless the Lord when I'm in the automobile. I will bless the Lord when I'm in school. I will bless the Lord on my way to the retreat. I will bless the Lord on my way home from the retreat. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall ever be in my mouth. His praises shall ever be in my mouth. Ever be in my mouth. We can't forget that his praises shall ever be in my mouth. To praise him in the miserable circumstance. It stinks. We know it stinks. But thank you, Jesus, you're in control. You are in control. Jesus, I wouldn't have chosen this, but thank you, Jesus. The Bible is filled with people like this. The Bible is, look at Uncle Job. Job, the poor bum, suffered, suffered, suffered. And the only thing he had around him were friends that had nothing to do with friendship. You, Job, must have done something evil, rotten, no good. You had all those kids, they were all dead. Your wife hates you, everybody hates you. You've got boils on you. You better search your soul and see what you did wrong. Friends like that, you don't need enemies. Job's friends were not friends at all. They tormented him. They tormented him. But what does Job say? Job says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you, that takes a lot of backbone. And as Catherine Kuhlman used to say, spirituality to do that. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. Ah, glorify the Lord with me. In other words, come on, crowds. Let's do it alone. Glorify the Lord with me. Come on. Let's have the tabernacle of David. That's what you should do your doctorate on, Father Wojtek. The tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David was when the Ark of the Covenant was in a tent, and that the tent was open, and then they would continue to come, and they would worship God night and day, and day and night, and night and day, and day and night. The tabernacle of David was a tabernacle of praise, a tabernacle of worship, a tabernacle of honoring God. They would come in. This is before the temple. This is before the temple. They would come before the Lord and start worshiping God and praising God and singing praises unto his name. That's the tabernacle of David. He would come in with his harp and he would praise the Lord. We know people that do this, that they go around the country fasting for 40 days at a time. And for those 40 days, they do the tabernacle of David. They're worshiping God 40 days and 40 nights. They've got music ministries. They're singing praises unto the Lord. And you know what begins to happen? The chains begin to fall off. Tabernacle of David. It's a tabernacle of praise. All times. Then you start to see that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Because as you worship God, you know what begins to happen? I'm going to tell you what happens when you begin to worship God. And we start, glorify the Lord with me, and we do it together. I'm going to tell you what happens. The angels get all mixed up. The angels get mixed up, they don't know if it's heaven or earth, and they start coming back and forth. They say, my gosh, is this heaven or is this earth? Because in heaven, they're always worshiping God. So as we continue to worship God, the poor angels, they start saying, my Lord, where am I now? Is this heaven or is this earth? And they start moving among us. They start doing things that God sends the messengers, the angels, to do for us. Because you see, these angels are praisers. They are constantly in the presence of God, worshiping God. These angels are singers. That's why sometimes, you know, people worship the Lord and all of a sudden you hear a sound that's not of the earth. The Lord makes a heavenly sound. And you say, my gosh, you know what happened? Heaven seeped into the earth. That's what happens when we start smelling heaven. You know, Tommy smelled all these beautiful flowers the other day and other people did too, because we're worshiping God and it's heaven starts to seep in. It starts to seep in. And you know, we know all about the earth. The earth, we know all about the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwell therein. We know all about the earth. But you see, it's really about heaven. It's really about heaven. Everybody knows about the earth. You know, already the days are starting to get shorter. That's right. Because the earth tilted on its axis 23.5 degrees yesterday, 2:02 in the afternoon, I understand. But now it's going the other way, tilting the other way. See, we know about the earth. We can say how many minutes are going to be of daylight today. But what do we know of heaven? We know everything about the earth, so much about the earth. But of heaven, the church knows so little. You know why? Because we're all so concerned with the things of earth. But when you get concerned with the things of heaven, then you start fixing the things of earth. Do you hear it? Because the earth is in need of heaven. What did Jesus say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What I'm going to ask you to do today before we come to our next meeting, I want you to go through the scriptures and find crazy things that Jesus said. Like the craziest things you could ever find. Like you'd say, ha, that's totally impossible. We made a retreat here with Father Bill a couple of weeks ago, and he says, when Jesus speaks something absurd and it even sounds like a lunatic, just believe it, because it's true. So when we come back today, I want you to look through the scriptures and start seeing some of the crazy things that Jesus has said. Like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no sickness. Jesus prayed that the kingdom would come on the earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no poverty. In heaven, there's no brokenness. In heaven, there's no enmity. Even the one you disliked on earth is the one you're going to sit next to in heaven. You see, that's crazy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's not our experience. That's right. It's not our experience, but you know what? It should be more and more our experience. Heaven should come to the earth when we worship God. Heaven should break in when we start praising God. I will bless the Lord all times. Glorify the Lord with me. Come on, let's go glorify the Lord. Got nothing better to do but to glorify the Lord. That's crazy. That's crazy. People would say, you know, you're an idealist. Then Jesus lied. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we don't see that. That's right. We don't see that. You know why? Because we know everything about the earth. And we know very little about heaven. I know one thing in heaven. They're all before the throne of God. They're all dancing and singing and worshiping God. Nobody is bored there. They're singing songs from morning until night. Sometimes it gets very quiet. Sometimes it gets very loud. But they're all involved in adoring the Lamb that was slain. Adoring the Father who sent him. Now, if the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven, then we've got to do on earth what they're doing in heaven. The tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David. Where we're before the Lord in praise and in worship and in adoration. That we're before the Lord singing unto his holy name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. I'm sure you have no fears. Fear is the worst enemy you can take into your soul. There is nothing worse than fear. My friend a couple of months ago took sick at a wedding. So she's on her way to a wedding again. So the first thing she said, oh, I hope it doesn't happen. I said to her, it had nothing to do with the wedding. It had everything to do with your blood count was low. Put that in your head. It had nothing to do with being at a wedding that you took sick. It had everything to do with your blood count being low. Because what would you hear if you got sick at a wedding? When I go to the wedding next time, I'll get sick again. What do you call that? That's a temptation. That's a fear. How many people are plagued with fear? I can't drive on a highway. I can't go into a closed elevator. I can't go up in the air in an airplane. What's preventing you? If you say, I can't go on an airplane because I have no money, that's another issue. But if you say, I can't go on an airplane because I'm scared. So what's ruling you? Like, what's ruling you? Fear. I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. The only way you deal with fear is you look it right in the eye and you do the very thing you're afraid to do. That's the only way you deal with fear. You look it right in the eye and say, you're not going to hold me back any longer. And I'm going to take Jesus by the hand, and you're not going to bind my life anymore. Some people are bound in houses because they're afraid to leave their house. Some people, even worse than that, are bound in one room because they're afraid to leave that room. I'll tell you what those poor people need. They need like 6 or 7 people saying, glorify the Lord with me. They need 6 or 7 singers going into the house that singing praises unto the Lord. That there be another atmosphere in that house. I'm not making fun of those poor people. That's a torment. There's nothing worse than things like that. But if you're afraid of one thing, he's going to put another thing on you. And if you're afraid of another thing, he's going to put another thing on you. I sought the Lord in worship, and he delivered me from all my fears. Look to him that you would be radiant with joy. Not look to your circumstances. Not look to your bank account. Not look to your health. Not look to me. Look to him. That's why in praising God, you know what happens? We get the focus off of self and onto him. Look to him that you would be radiant with joy. And who does God choose to do what he wants to do? You know, St. Paul tells us today. He tells us very clearly, I'll start bragging if you want me to. I'm going to speak absolute foolishness. Ragtime, he says. I'm going to speak ragtime. Listen. Are they Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew too. Are they Israelites? Me too. I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is the tribe that was the smallest tribe, but it was a favored tribe because it was the only tribe born in the Holy Land. Do they belong to the seed of Abraham? Me too. Are they ministers of the Messiah? Now I'm really talking ragtime. I'm really talking like a fool. I'm more of a minister of the Messiah, with many more labors, more imprisonments, far worse beatings, frequent brushes with death. 5 times at the hands of the Jews, I received 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned once, shipwrecked 3 times. I passed a day and a night on the sea. I traveled continually, endangered by floods, robbers, my own people, by the Gentiles, imperiled in the city, imperiled in the desert, imperiled at sea by false brothers, enduring labors and hardships, sleepless nights, many sleepless nights.
in hunger and in thirst and in fastings, frequent fastings, in cold and in nakedness, leaving other sufferings unmentioned. There is the daily tension pressing on me by anxiety for all the churches. Who is scandalized? And who is weak that I am not affected by it? Who is scandalized that I am not aflame with indignation? Who is this poor guy? This is St. Paul. This St. Paul. In jail. What do you do in jail when you start singing at 12 o'clock at night? That's what you start doing. What will we start doing in jail at 12 o'clock at night?
I don't belong here. I was only doing good. How did I end up here?
Paul said to Silas, come on, it's midnight, let's worship God. Silas said to Paul, that's a good idea. They didn't know the chains were going to break. They just knew it was time to worship God. They just knew that they needed to do this. They just knew it was time to adore, praise, sing, dance, do what they needed to do in the little cell that they were in. Let's just worship God, Paul said. Silas said, that's a good idea. We're going to do it. And so they start singing, and all the prisoners think of these people are nuts. These people, they're out of their gourd. These people are crazy. Listen to these people singing and praising God. What are they doing? Shut up over there. I don't want to hear. Listen, we were in jail for Operation Rescue. We were singing and praising God, and some of the prisoners say, shut up, I don't want to hear you. And we went louder than that. Yeah, there were a whole, we're in jail, you know. They put us in jail because we blocked abortion mills, because we're trying to stop them from killing children that day. So they took us away, and we're about 20 in this little cell. So we start singing and praising God, and the prisoners saying, no, I don't hear you. Shut up. So what did Paul do? Come on, Silas, just a little louder. Just a little louder. I'm going to entertain the Lord in the jail cell. The jail cell is going to become heaven. God's presence is going to seep into this smelly old jail cell.
That's what we're here to do. Simple as that. To glorify the Lord with me. I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times. In my weakness, in my infirmities, I'm here to worship God. I ask for the grace to do it well. So let's ask for that grace. Come on, stand. Ask for the grace. Lord, I want the grace to worship you this week. I want the grace to worship you this week. I want that grace, Lord, and I want it to continue when I leave this place. I do. I want it to continue when I leave this place. I ask for the grace to worship you, Lord, and I want it to continue when I leave this place. Lord, give us the grace to worship you. Give us the grace to seek you. Give us the grace to bless you. Give us the grace, O God, to seek you with all of our hearts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.